We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Miami Heat Beat Miami Heat Beat podcast. See, we don't do a lot of podcasts. We mostly do posts. We're the Heat Beat podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. And with me today, Saucy Takes, Coach Lou.
What is up? What is up? What is up, everybody? Don't let us get one.
We have Frankie G, co-founder of StreamBeat.
Please let us get one.
Please. Please. That's going to be the podcast title. Please let us get one. Guys, I watched that game yesterday. And in probably 6 hours later, I got food poisoning.
I woke up nauseous today. I'm still nauseous.
And I learned yesterday that you can get a fever from food poisoning. Did you guys know that?
Unfortunately, from experience.
Yeah, I felt queasy on my tummy, and I felt sick, and I got a fever. And I was wondering if it was the shellfish I ate, or if it was watching the Heat continually double Celtics and it not work. Could be either one of them. But we're here to break down game one of the first round of the Eastern Conference, Miami and Boston. I saw a tweet on the timeline the other day. It was the Joker saying, you and I are destined to do this forever in regards to the Heat and the Celtics. Because fuck it, why not? They've played, the first time they played was 2009-2010. That was the Dwayne Udonis and KG fight. They a bunch of actresses. I don't know if you remember that quote.
Who could forget?
Dwayne Hurt is, the 46-point yell at his hand game in game four to mercifully save us from a sweep. Then Miami 1-5 the next year in the first year of the Big Three in the conference semifinals. They 1-7 in the conference finals. That was the first trilogy. Then we don't play them again until the Jimmy and Bam years, where it's conference finals. Right, first six game and then 2-7 game series. And then here we are in the first round of the playoffs again, back where it all started, people. And just two teams that have just been at the forefront of basketball for the last 15 years. And while it's exciting to play meaningful basketball, it's unfortunate that Miami's so undermanned against such a huge rival. So we're going to try to break down everything that we can for you. Guys, I want to start with Miami's defense, and we're going to get into shooting on their offense. But I think from a defensive perspective, the thing I noticed was the zone was not very effective. And I saw Cooper Moorhead tweet that Miami only played like 15 possessions of zone against Boston in the regular season. And Lou, we'll start with you. It just really seemed like Boston had a lot of answers for it. And a lot of it was Jason Tatum playmaking. And he was making very difficult cross-court passes to Sam Hauser on the weak side of the ball. And Miami kind of always you know, they'll load up their zone and their defense on the strong side. And especially if they run any kind of action, they'll send two at the ball. They'll do Miami does everything that they need to prevent Jason Tatum from beating them. And he made them a playmaker. They forced him to be a playmaker. And Lou, he absolutely picked them apart.
Yeah. You know, a lot of credit to, I guess, to Tatum for doing that. But
now we got to keep it real. I mean, he did not have these passes. They're cross court, like from like one corner to the other through traffic. Credit to him, bro. I fucking hate that team, and nobody is a louder hater than me. You got to give credit where credit's due.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Credit is due. I think the Heat, you know, going back to like what Miami did incorrectly in the zone is what they always do in the zone. They overcommit to stopping like paint touches and everything in the paint. But against Boston, who's the team that shoots the most three-pointers, that's kind of that, like, they don't care about the, like, realistically, they don't care about getting to the rim. They want that all Boston their action. Yeah. Like, they want threes. That's literally what they want. And in the zone, you can't really make the you know, Hauser got going in that second quarter. Like, you can't dig into shooters in zone because that's not what the zone is for. So, I think the zone way overstayed its fucking welcome. And I knew it wasn't going to, like, I knew it wasn't going to work against them. Like, there's, you're going to have to ask Kevin Love to play, you know, hedge and recover, to double, to blitz, pick and roll. But you would not be asking Kevin Love to just play zone and every other person to try to make up for that inconvenience, which is,
I don't think it was because of Kevin, though.
It was schemed.
Yeah.
But like you know, it's schemed like that because Love isn't the most athletic guy. For as many good things as he does well, him being near the rim defensively is one of the, you know, one of the best ways to not really showcase his weakness.
Was like one of the not problems yesterday on defense.
And that's the thing, G, because Boston doesn't attack the paint anyways.
They don't.
So it's hard to make, you know, it's hard to pinpoint that as a weakness because they don't care. They know that they're going there to get a corner shot. And they picked the Miami's corner in the zone at will. It was the right corner. It was the left corner. It was back to the right corner. It was back to the left corner. It didn't fucking matter because they knew if they can swing cross court and get a two-on-one from the wing in the corner, the guy from the corner in the defense was going to pull up to the shooter on the wing, skip to the corner, and it didn't matter.
It was one pass swing.
That's what it's going to keep looking like if we're playing fucking zone defense. Like, at least the zone defense that we're accustomed to seeing Miami play. Maybe if they do some shit like a 3-2, but they're not whipping that shit out now. Like, they haven't ran that all year. You know. No, did he?
Oh, God.
But, yeah, like, it was just, you know, it was what it was. The zone gave them no answers, and it looked like Boston was a team that was prepping for 10 days to beat Miami zone, and lo and behold, they did.
So, to your point, Lou, Boston 25th in attempts at the rim by shot distribution percentage, and they are first in three-point shot distribution. 47% of Boston's field goals come behind the three-point line. Only 31% of them come at the rim.
Mm-hmm.
One of the few teams that's worse than Boston in that respect is Miami. Miami is second to last at shot distribution at the rim. And Miami has a similar shot profile. They shoot a lot of threes, although they're more middle of the pack this year than they've been. Frankie, I agree with Lou, and I think that if you're letting Boston play to their strengths, I think that Jason Tatum proved to you that he can play make. And I think that they understood that too, because they really kind of went away from the zone, you know, kind of as the game progressed, and they played more man despite him hitting step back after step back. But I'm more okay with that than kind of the Boston Celtics beating you with the pass. But I don't think that's the last we've seen of the zone. They'll bring it out again, but I certainly don't see that as a mainstay this series.
Definitely not. You got to be able to, in this series, I think the
regular Heat defense of one-on-one, you know, help one pass away to attack the gaps and prevent the dribble penetration. I think they really need to be a little bit more disciplined this series. Just and the one-on-one guy on-ball defender has to be better. It has to be consistently better. And, it, you know, it's tough, but this isn't really a this is a very talented team, but this isn't a dribble penetration team like that. They use their spacing. They attack the gaps. They're all capable guys, but there's no guy that's really capable of like heliocentric, like a Luka that's going to kill you with a bunch of drives and attacks. Tatum's the closest thing to it. And even him, if you force him left, it's a lot easier. He's not as good finishing with his left. He's improved. But that's something they could still try to pick on his finishing. And but it's comes down to the Heat guarding the ball better, not relying on the help and the rotations, because this isn't a team that's great in rotation, especially with Jimmy missing. There's no PJ. There's no weak side defenders that are gonna play the passing lanes well like Kyle did. Get deflections and get them out in the break. It's a lot easier to spread out the Heat, especially with Porzingis. And I just think it comes down to everybody doing their job a lot cleaner and trying to contain one-on-one.
So I don't disagree with like what you're saying about the one-on-one containment. I just don't think that Miami really did a lot of that because they right. doubled and they said they overhelped all the time. Like they weren't really putting themselves in positions to get beat one-on-one. I thought late in that second quarter, they said, okay, well, Tatum, you're going to be a scorer now. And they put Highsmith on him and he hit like four step back jumpers. And Spo was like, well, I'll be, you know. And I'm okay with him hitting that. And I think if he beats you with that, you just say, okay, man, congratulations. You scored 40 a series. But
that's what I'm saying.
And I tweeted, I agree. And I tweeted that Jason Tatum's assists are going to be a good bellwether for how the Celtics are performing in the series because, you know, he had 10 and I believe he had 6 at the half. And to me, that's an indicator of, okay, like, well, they're schmoving because like Miami's just sending two. There was a possession early on in the game where Tatum is posting up Caleb Martin and Miami sent help. And I'm like, it was Jaylen Brown as well. Jaylen Brown was posting up Jason Tatum. And Jaylen Brown's like a good, he has 1.04 points per possession on post-ups. So it's not like he's a bum, but you know, he's a slightly above average post-up player. And posting up early in the clock away far from the basket, and Miami sending a second guy over, and he just gives Jaylen that easy pass. And I'm like, why are we doubling? Why was that the game plan right. off the rip? Shouldn't you? I understand wanting them to force turnovers, and maybe that's the thinking, Lou, that Eric's like, yeah. Eric Spoelstra's like, hey, we're going to need to force turnovers because we just really can't win without kind of like mucking this up and making it gimmicky. So we're going to double. We're going to send a lot of bodies. And I just think Boston was so fucking ready for that. And we talk shit. And I want to be real as a Heat fan because we all talk about, oh, the coaching advantage, this and that. And they obviously have a coaching advantage. But let's give some credit to Mazzulla and his staff because they were very prepared for everything Miami had, including the double, including the zone, including all that stuff. This was not just Boston was more talented. They had a game plan for this. They knew exactly where guys wanted to be. There was a play, and I'm sorry that I'm talking way too much. This is so much to get to. But there was an action where Lou, Tatum's on the one-on-one that I talked about before. Tatum's on the strong side of the ball. They sent another. Horford is ready to screen off the rotation from the guy that's in the paint who's pinching in to help. So that ball goes from Tatum to the weak side wing, and that weak side wing swings to the corner. That rotation gets caught behind the screen. They are ready for that. That is drilled. That is on purpose.
No, yeah, absolutely. Like a lot of like half-assed double teams and like, they're double teaming. I think a lot of the double teams, none really came on the baseline. They were all somewhere on the wing or on the top, like, you know, on the free throw line extended area. And that's not where you want to double team anybody, to be honest, let alone like, you know, the Celtics. One thing that they do really, really well is Obviously, like all the spacing that they provide offensively, the way that they, you know, it's completely different from what we get, but the way that they, the guys are at designated spots and they know how to, well, they're talented enough to obviously shoot, but, you know, they know how to move the ball and help find each other. You know, a lot of connective players on that team, but Miami just, you know, to the point that you brought up, G, I think the double teaming and stuff and like bringing two to the ball was to force turnovers, but I don't think that's the way you want to force turnovers against Boston. I think you want Boston to put the ball on the floor and you want to trust your one-on-one defense.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously it sucks. You know, you, one of your best one-on-one defenders is injured, obviously not going to play this series, but I think you want to trust Highsmith. You know, you want to trust DeLon, you want to trust Bam, you want to trust, you know, Caleb. Shit. Yeah, you want to try to trust Caleb as much as you can to get you and force you some of these turnovers in the same way Gabe Vincent did last year, in the same way Jimmy did, in the same way Caleb himself did last year.
You're better off letting them pass off the dribble than pass off like,
you stand know, still, stand yeah. still with yeah.
Well, you have your hands above your head, yeah. So I wanna real quick. So like kind of what I'm talking about here, you see, Tatum's here one on one. Kevin Love comes to help. Look how the floor is configured. Miami's very, very loaded. Kind of make sure that, you know, everybody's has a foot in the paint or ready to have a foot in the paint. Tatum, he turns. Look at DeLon's there, right? That's an easy pass. And that's a swing. And look at Horford sealing off any rotation coming from the weak, from the strong side of the ball. And Sam Hauser's wide open. There's no resistance. And again, mm-hmm. look at the same thing. Tatum's on this side. Miami sends two. Look at the pass that he makes. He sees that help. He knows
this is exactly coming. What I was talking about.
Look at that. Yeah. He knows. And look at Drew Holiday's coming over to the wing, ready to receive an easier pass. Highsmith does a good job because he already saw that of taking that angle away. Tyler Hero's trying to play free safety. Now, if that's Jimmy Butler, that pass might get picked off. It's not.
Time it.
Boom. That's 1-2 swing. Horford again on his man. Bam doesn't get a clean angle. And that's cash money. And it's like,
again, and both of those were in zone. Yeah. I know you didn't show the yeah. beginning, but both of those were in zone.
They were in zone. Yeah. And that was kind of my point of it. You know, I mean, well, I mean, you could kind of see like, you know, they're Miami says like, you know, their matchup zone, like, you know, they're zoned up.
As soon as he catches it here, he just always, his target is whoever's on that hash mark at the 3-point line. And then it's basically a 2-on-1 and their shooters are good enough to make you pay. Cause yeah. you see Pritchard doesn't even come to the ball. He, you know, he goes exactly to that spot. Like he drifted away. So this could be a 2-on-1 situation here.
Yeah. And like, you know, just, I mean, Highsmith is just really doing, you know, has to make that rotation. And then that was the whole game though. Miami's yeah. in rotation the entire game.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough, man. They're just like the way they keep, they know that they're going to help one pass away. So they keep Drew on the strong side instead of letting, Tatum go one-on-one empty side. I know it's not good because they're in zone anyways, but that helps them make that easier pass. And it's one skip. It makes Tyler hold and the guy on the weak side top, he's got to rotate over and play the two on top. And it makes everybody split it, and it makes it's easy passes there. So and when you don't have Jimmy and as a passing hawk in the as a free safety,
a passing on the weak, disturber,
exactly, he's it's a lot easier, you know. Jaime is much improved as a defender, but he's not a playmaker on defense like that on in the passing lane that's going to get those deflections, use his length, use his timing. He's not anticipating that well enough, and it's not his fault. That's a really hard yeah. rotation. Like Jimmy's elite at that, but that they're picking at that, and that's why I think it's better to just go man-to-man almost this entire series, or switch up their zone, try like a 1-3-1, maybe something that gets them a little bit more of an odd front, and try to keep them stuck to a side. But you know, the thing that helps the Celtics is that they're a lot bigger. It's just that's just the facts about it.
They
have two guys and their wings are both 6'7" and above. Their guards are both 6'4". Their center is damn 7'8". you know, whatever Kristaps is, but like they get to just play, you know, a space the floor. They all their starters attempt 5 threes, so they're all threats. They're all comfortable shooting it. This is a tough task, man. They're really tested here, and I think this comes down to man to man, just doing your job one on one and trying to keep it to that, force them out of their comfort zone. This might be a switch heavy series where we need to see more of that, and you know, guys making them play in isolation and win like that. They don't want to play like that. They're kind of programmed at this point to play off rotation, force rotation, and play off that and use that to attack the gaps, attack the driving lanes, attack the open 3 points that come from that. And I think you kind of, the only way you can compete in this series, if you make them shift their personality, shift their instinct. This reminds me of the 2011, the 2014 Spurs, where they're a machine to everybody. Like they're one of the best offenses. Obviously we saw that, but if you remember, the Mavericks in the first round played them 7 games because they said, hey, we know you want to move the ball. We know this is how you want to play. We're going to make you go isolation this whole series. We're going to go switch everything. You're going to beat Dirk one-on-one sometimes. Sure, Tony Parker's going to match up with Samuel Dallenberg sometimes, but that's going to be the shit. And if anytime the Heat are doubling or sending two to the ball without real pressure, without real need to, it's a win already in their book.
So like, and I want to show like another of these clips because I want to emphasize, guys, how often this happened. This is a completely different play, and it's the same thing. You know what I mean? Look, it's just they run an action now. Tyler and I believe that's Highsmith on the ball. Yeah, it's Tyler and Highsmith, right? And then Drew comes over, invites the matchup. They double, and then that's one kick out away.
Yeah,
and Horford's holding, but whatever. And that's a tough look at the pass that Tatum makes through. Look, there's 1, 2, 3 Heat jerseys that he sends that pass through. Look at that. That's quick. Duncan is just not going to get there. And that's just cash money for another Celtics.
From a guy who was already hot, too.
For a guy that's already hot. And then we have this action. Miami doubles Jaylen Brown. Speaking of the doubles, you know, they're not 16
on the clock.
Yeah, 16 on the clock. Jaime has to rotate over. Look where they are. You're getting beat off the dribble. Tyler sealed under the basket by Derek White. Jovic is in between Holiday and the paint. He's not going to get there. Caleb's rotating over. Yeah. You know, he's just getting beat, you know, and that's a layup. And those are the layups you don't want to give off. Mm-hmm. These guys that are attacking a bent defense because look at where Jaime helps from. Bam comes over. Jaime does not have the angle on Tatum. Jaime's coming from Holiday, and now Jovic has to defend Porzingis and Drew Holiday. Nobody's in the right place.
Right.
Yeah. And Porzingis leaks to the corner anyway. So if Miami's help does come in time and Tatum can kind of wrap baseline, that's an open pass to another shooter in the corner or a swing to Holiday. So it's really just no wins for Miami all over the place defensively.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a play where Caleb has to step up and take a charge right there.
Yep.
But he turns his back to the ball and that's gets cooked. Jaime,
you know who would.
Moments. Yeah.
You know who would.
Running to his rotation there, like G said, but the biggest point there was they doubled with 16 seconds left on the shot clock.
And not a guy who picked up his dribble yet.
And it's because they don't respect Jaylen Brown. And they think, okay, well, we're going to try to force a turnover. That's what I think, at least. That's most likely.
But they're making the game so simplified that even if he's not a good passer, like their spacing and their timeliness, like they're hitting on all cylinders. So, you know, credit to Boston for doing that. But, like, Miami needs to, again, everybody knows the left-hand jokes, whatever. Like, they need to try to make these guys put the fucking ball on the floor. And I think Miami's best defense came when they weren't over-rotating. And, you know, we didn't even showcase a couple of plays where Bam was guarding the ball. And you have people waiting to help. If Bam is going to be out there guarding on the perimeter, like he's entrusted to and like he's proven that he can, bro, there's no reason you should be paying attention when the ball goes up so you can grab a rebound. That's what you should be. You should not be trying to double from one pass away. Like, little things like that, you know, this series is going to be tough for them.
They're preemptively doubling. So let's take a little look at when they run single coverage here. So Tatum has the ball. They run pick and roll. That is not the play that I wanted.
No, that's zone. Yeah, so you already know how this ends.
Yeah, well, we can run the whole thing. I actually kind of like this defensive possession from Miami. So the Celtics run a high pick and roll here. And
I think what you like about it is the fact that they didn't shoot a three. Like, they drove in, and
that's a good. So Tatum not really giving much here. Passes the ball. Holiday tries to drive in, because Holiday's probably the weakest shooter in the lineup right now between Tatum, Horford, Porzingis, and Peyton Pritchard. And I'm okay with Holiday shooting threes. He drives into the lane. Great rotation by Kevin Love. A lot of Heat jerseys. Now you're forcing Horford to take a floater, and he's not a short roll passer either. So that's actually like a good possession of zone for them.
Yeah, on a regular possession, Horford would have gone to the weak side wing and got a kick out, and it would have been another three.
Yeah, no, I'm not a fan of the zone here either. I think, look how easy that drive was. It looked a lot like against Philly in the second half.
Yeah,
where they were catching.
Philly was doing it with speed.
Yeah, so is Drew Holiday here.
Was Buddy Hield too? Buddy Hield, but two were driving against it early.
I just think that they met him like Kevin Love gets to the spot. You know what I mean? Like, he's there.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Love makes the rotation.
It's better than the first four possessions you showed us
for sure.
However, this, you're losing to this too.
Yeah, because if that's Jaylen Brown who catches that ball.
He's going up and it's a foul.
Yeah, he's going up or he can make a pass off the dribble. Mm-hmm. The actual play I wanted to show when they're in man was this possession. Why are none of the plays that I'm asking for coming? I keep uploading the wrong one. What's going on here?
Let him cook.
Yeah. So regardless, their man coverage was okay. I think this should be it. Why is it not? Okay, well, regardless, never mind. I have a clip of man, but it's not there. So, well, that totally discombobulated us. but yeah, I thought their man was good. I thought that they got exactly the kinds of possessions that you wanted, especially when they weren't doubling. And I thought they kind of had to do the thing where they load up on the ball like they do against Embiid without doubling. So here's the actual action where look at Tatum on Highsmith, the matchup you want, right? Look at Duncan shading over, ready to help. Look at DeLon. He's not totally committing, but he's there. If Tatum's going to do a spin to that side as Duncan is, everybody's guarding your yard. Tatum actually doesn't really have a pass to Pritchard in the corner. That's it. That's in between Bam, which is going to be really tough. And that's one easy rotation for Tyler to make.
Yeah.
And listen, they comes over. Look at great flash by Duncan. That's a tough shot. You just live with that. And he's a superstar, bro. He's going to hit those shots. And if he beats you on a consistent diet of that, look at the wall, bro. There's no line to the rim. That's the kind of stuff. That's how you want to limit stuff to the rim. You want to guard your yard without kind of over rotating. They just load up. They're in that line. Don't break the line. And Bam's there to help if needed.
For sure.
And that's kind of what they got to do more of. And Tatum just hit a bunch of those in game one. And you know, you're going to lose that, but.
Yeah, but that's not why you lost the game.
You lost the game because all those guys got working. And I think it's okay if Tatum is cooking you and Sam Hauser doesn't touch the ball for 10 minutes. And if Peyton Pritchard doesn't touch the ball for 10 minutes and it's just Tatum isolations, because then when you do want to double late, if you do want to test them a little bit, you send that double, you force that pass, and those guys might not be like as ready as if in the beginning of the game, they're hitting those shots early. They feel good about themselves that, you know, as opposed to maybe Boston even running actions to get their guys going. And, you know, that just kind of takes away from maybe what they want to do more of and what Miami's giving them. So,
yeah,
I think it's, I would like to see more of that. And I think part of that is going to be playing Highsmith more minutes. And I wonder if he ever becomes, gets in the starting lineup. I thought Hawkins' defense was suspect at best. I think ironically, he, and we could start talking about their offense. He was probably one of their most reliable offensive players. I know Bam had 24. It was a large diet of jump shots, and I'm not super comfortable with their offense primarily coming from Bam pull-up jump shots and or turnaround jump shots, even worse. It's not, I don't think that's reliable. Hyman pick and roll was probably the most consistent thing they got. And I don't know if they cannot start him. And I kind of want to just kind of piggyback there and see what you guys think.
Yeah, no. Jaime was, you know, Bam had, and I think I said it at the time, like, this is probably the best shot-making game you're getting from Bam all series.
I certainly hope not.
I hope not, but realistically, like, he was giving him fits. He got to his spots. He was feeling comfortable. He was making the tough jumpers. But Jaime was probably the only one who was actually able to get all the way to the rim. So that was like the closest thing that they had to some sort of rim pressure. So yeah, he on that end, particularly, he's not expendable whatsoever. Like, you need him because he's the only one who can put some kind of pressure to bend the defense. You know, you're kind of hoping Tyler can do some of that, but we'll get to that. And you're kind of hoping maybe Caleb can do some of that, but we've seen who Caleb is at this point this season. So it's, you know, it's settling for a lot of tough jumpers and stuff. Jaime, though, again, it's impressive. Impressive for somebody this young against a defense and a team this talented, a team that, you know, in theory has a lot of pieces to throw at him, that he still looked so composed and was able, I don't want to say comfortable because not every look was comfortable, but he never felt rushed. He never felt uncomfortable, which is, you know, a great, great sign for them. But how much can you lean on him? That's the question. Like,
for sure. Mm. I don't yeah. know. He doesn't have the matchups to like Hunt like he usually would. Like, I guess like Pritchard would be the best option, but even Pritchard's a pretty like a good defender and he battles out there. It's, he doesn't get like easily bodied like that. And they have so much length to throw it and helps that.
What's up, guys? It's Pablo the intern here. And I know I'm interrupting your podcast, but we have to talk about the company Unified Healing that is sponsoring today's episode. You may be wondering, what is the Unified Healing? Well, I'm about to tell you. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System for short. This technology is perfect whenever you're tired, you need some relaxation, or you just want to feel good. G and I already had the pleasure of visiting one of the centers here in Miami, and my God, it was amazing. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/heatbeat to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/heatbeat. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
It would really test him in the post, and he still found a way to like attack gaps, attack early. One of his best drives was in like secondary transition, just being aggressive and not letting them set their defense, and got right to the rim. And he gets some easy buckets. I think the true test will be, you know, how much is thrown on his plate. He had six. He was second on the team in field goals, but you know, like that's going to be needed. I think they need him to get some more contact and get to the line a little bit more. He's one of the guys that I trust getting to fouled and getting to the line. We need some more from Kevin as well. I think 13 minutes for Kevin was way too low. He's got to be a 20 to 25.
I was talking to some of people I know that are Celtic fans, and they're like, why is Love not playing more? And I just think that they're a little scared of playing him and Bam together.
I don't get why. Like, if you
the trust Celtics Nico, didn't play a lot of two bigs,
but that's fine. Like, if you trust Nico and Bam, like, I thought Nico did a good job of containing. No, I'm saying, if you can trust them together, you can trust Kevin and Bam.
I disagree.
I think so. Because
they put Nico on Jaylen Brown, who
Love's not doing that. But
no, you put Kevin on Kristaps and let Bam guard one of the big guys.
I don't know.
There's no right answers.
This is like we're trying to solve
them. What do you get from Kevin Love playing more than Nico?
Because Kevin's one of the best offensive players on the team, and
he's an engine.
And he brings a lot of energy, and he's got like the best offensive rating on the team because he can space the floor. He helps them go five out, lets them go four out.
He can punish switches.
One of the best passers on the team. You can attack the gaps from the high post, from the free throw line extended, top of the key. He opens up a lot of the offense, opens up their spacing, and guys feast off him. There's a reason they went Jaime,
so
Kevin.
If you play him and Bam, so how much do you want him to play with Bam, and then do you start inviting a third center?
Real quick, I don't care how much he plays with Bam. It doesn't matter.
You just want him to get to like 25 minutes.
He needs to play 20 to 25 minutes. One of our three or four best offensive players should not be playing 13 minutes a game. That's not a winnable formula.
You don't worry that they'd just start spamming Tatum, Porzingis pick and roll.
They need to keep stuff on the strong side. Keep one-on-one action. If they beat them the whole series doing that, you take them out of their rhythm. They are such a deadly team because all five guys are threats at all times. If you keep it to two guys, you give them a different look. You make them uncomfortable. If Tatum gets 48, Tatum gets 48. It's the 10 assists we don't need him to get.
Yeah, I don't disagree with Frankie's points. I think he brought up a great point.
Yeah, I don't either. Totally.
But
I mean, you lay it out like that.
I think the way I'll look at it, because, you know, the question I'm asking myself as you guys are saying this, yes, Love absolutely needs to play more minutes. What's the easiest path to him playing those minutes? I think it's when Horford's on the floor.
Right.
Horford played 26 of those minutes. I feel a lot more comfortable with Kevin Love guarding Al Horford in pick and pops or pick and rolls or pick and whatevers than, you know, him chasing around Porzingis doing the same thing. And if they're playing two bigs, then that's a perfect time for him to play with Bam, obviously. But if they're not, then, you know, it's not like Nico was tasked to guard, he was tasked to guard Jaylen. He was also tasked to guard Porzingis quite a bit too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, let Love try to mirror as many of Horford's minutes as possible. I don't know if he can give you 25 minutes at the efficiency he's doing it, but shit, you need them. So might as well fucking try.
You also have more days rest in between. So like you have to take that into consideration. Like he was playing 20 minutes a game, like 20 minutes tops in the regular season. He can't give you 25 and then have 3 days off in between. Like, I think, you know, like I get it. This isn't a championship year. This isn't a year you probably get out of the first round, but fuck it. I'm going out guns blazing and I'm trusting one of my better players on the team, win or lose.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not going to be easy.
No, I'm kind of on your side with that, and I think that they just need a little bit more offensive juice and like
for sure they can't have high. I mean, I was going to say you can't have Highsmith go 0-for-4, but then you also had DeLon go 6-for-7, 5-for-5 from 3. Like there's some balance there.
DeLon had that nice little move where he kind of went out and then in on Porzingis. And I was like,
I love DeLon.
It's something that you know. That I talked about yesterday a little bit on the post game on the hot, like, you know, I'm not advocating for Patty Mills, but like, but the reason, you know, that even crosses my mind is because they need some kind of 3-point shooting variance. And if whoever you're taking out for Love is a better 3-point shooter.
They're not getting good shots, Lou. And that's like the problem. It's like, I kind of am with you, but also they're not getting Boston. Like, you know, like we looked at all the ways that Boston's forcing Miami rotations to get open threes. The Heat's threes that they're getting are off pull-ups. It's off of drop and off of pull-ups.
That's the thing.
That's going to be Tyler and Duncan and Caleb a little bit And
G, really, the only other person who can do that is Patty Mills. Say what you want to say. I don't want to say it either, man. Trust me. I don't want. We shouldn't be in this predicament. How the fuck did we get here?
I just think he's unplayable. I disagree. I just think he's so bad on defense.
I don't think he's
that good a shooter for them.
I would rather trust Kevin a little more.
No. Kevin has to play regardless. But my point is, if you're going to get into a 3-point shooting contest with fucking with Boston, you need some kind of variance.
That is not what they should do.
No, they shouldn't do that, which is what I'm saying. But if Boston's going to go out there and shoot 49 fucking threes.
He's shooting 27% from three this year.
That's fine. Like,
damn, I just never.
I'm saying, like, are we trusting
but Duncan hold on. Right, Lou, I thought the reason why you wanted the series was to give the young guy some run.
Yeah, it is.
The
only person he should be taking minutes from is Duncan Robinson.
Nah, play Duncan more.
Duncan can't move out there, man.
You think Patty can?
Better. He moves better than Duncan.
He does. Really? But I don't think he has anyone to guard here in this series. I wouldn't even trust him on Pritchard or Hauser.
Only on Pritchard.
And but even then, like he Pritchard's a good driver, and he's gonna attack him. And
I'm not saying it's perfect, but
no, you're right.
Some kind of variance. Like I'm trying to throw some shit at the wall and hope it sticks. Miami could not hit a shot.
I don't think they have to overreact. They don't have to overreact to game one. I think I think the plan for game two is going to be, all right, we're going to try to force them into more one-on-one stuff. We're going to play kind of more man coverage, as we saw. I imagine that means a little bit more Highsmith, a little bit more Kevin Love to kind of juice your offense a little bit. Maybe let Jaime Jaquez Jr. get some more possessions. And I think the other thing we haven't talked about is, you know, Tyler's going to have to start hitting these shots. 3-point shots. I think this is a Tyler play. Yeah, this was the opening play of the game. And Tyler, they're going to run a handoff. And Holiday gets caught behind this BAM screen. Look how deep Porzingis is in a drop. He's at the free throw line. And Tyler's going to turn that corner. Takes way too long to get around the pick. And Porzingis is already closing out. Tyler does a little sidestep, gets open, and he misses. Those are the shots that you need to make. Because those are the best looks that they're going to get all series out of him. And if you're not, I mean, you get Holiday. Look, Holiday tries to go over, and he's met with Bam's shoulder. Your screener did a great job. And
he's trying to read the pocket pass right there instead of thinking pulling it.
Exactly. And, you know, Tatum's there to tag anyway. And I guess Bam has that pass to Martin in the corner. But, you know, and even there, you know, you had the pocket pass and I'm okay with the shot.
I'm okay with it too.
I just think he needs to start hitting them. We have a Hawkins play that we kind of were talking about earlier. Like, look, Wade comes off the pick and roll, and look at how he attacks.
Pivot, bang.
And just kind of gets into the lane. But like, look, when he comes off the screen, unlike Tyler, look how fast he's going. Like, he's going. Jalen doesn't have the angle. And look, Porzingis is at the free throw line. I mean, Holiday comes to stunt, unfazed, stop, turn, gets a little space, oversized. And by the way, I love about this, if he misses, because Porzingis comes over, Bam is the only one under the rim to offensive rebound because he forced that big man help.
He was ready to tip dunk.
He's ready to go. And then
play the beginning of it.
Of the other one?
The last one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But look how Jaime does such a good job making sure his man gets screened. He jams him at the line right there. Boom. And then
good screen by Nico.
Yeah, throws his ass back like UD. That's how you set your man up. And you gotta be physical with these defenders, man. These guys are all big. They're all gonna try to be physical and try to punk you. And Jaime wasn't afraid of that. And that our shooters need to do a much better job.
Why is Chris Quinn upset here? What is he mad at?
I thought that's just his face, man. He always
Why is he shaking his head?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
He's like, another. Damn, there's a challenge we weren't going to challenge anyways.
Look at this. It's the same thing. Engage. It's like, look, it's kind of the same thing where Hawkins comes from the corner. And he just comes up, catches the ball, little stop. And it's just immediately going downhill. Jalen's at his hip. Look, Porzingis is there. White's there. That little hesitation dribble and four burst. People. And that's a tough finish. That's over a lot, but the fact that he has the fucking, you know what I mean? Like he's trying to go downhill and make something happen.
But you look at that again. He smacks his guy first to set up the screen to disengage him a little bit, and then he goes off and he's aggressive. Like our guys need to be physical with them and getting open. Like you have to get yourself open too. It's not just relying on Bam to set screens and stuff. And yeah, man.
I don't know. I guess, you know, like if you're Miami, you know, obviously there's not like a lot of positives to take. I don't take a ton from that little fake comeback at the end. I mean, I thought they played a little bit faster. It's hard.
They won the quarter.
It's hard to really like find what was working for a Boston team that's up a million points. That's clearly not playing with the same gas.
Well, I don't know. Tatum was in the game with like the whole fourth quarter to get that triple double.
Yeah. Good eye on that.
No,
I like that.
You need some variance in this. You need some 3-point variance. It's hard on the road to get that. These are usually the games your stars need to win you games. Exactly. But it comes out to free throws. You got to do a much better job attacking and getting fouled, knocking them down. That's why I insist on Kevin. He's somebody who can take advantage of some mismatches and get to the line a little bit. Six free throws as a team is a joke. Like it needs to be at least like 18 to have a chance. And if you're not going to get to the line, you're not going to shoot threes. You're not going to score enough because this Heat team can't get to the rim well enough. So I think this is a series, excuse me, where you have to try to get Boston in rotation and have to try to get two on the ball. But I don't know how that he do that.
I really think that again, their kind of path to winning to at least denting Boston is going to be cleaning up what we talked about defensively. And I think going, and I think using the zone, I would actually be interested in them using the zone when Jaylen Brown is in the game without Tatum, and maybe using some zone to slow some Jaylen Porzingis lineups or Jaylen Al Horford lineups. Those are kind of ways. And I'm like, okay, well, let's test Jaylen Brown as a passer.
For sure.
I'm more okay with that than doing it to Tatum, who is clearly like more comfortable as a hub.
Good
and
idea.
Forcing them to play Tatum kind of more one-on-one and kind of doing those kind of coverages that we looked at, even that, you know, force those kind of tough looks or force them to put the ball on the floor and send help that way. And on offense, I just think that they really have to kind of find those gaps for their pull-up game. I think, you know, Haim is doing a good job. I think more Kevin Love, as you said, and I've come to agree with you on that. Get some shooting, get some passing. Miami's going to have to kind of win those little scraps, like those little squabs. You know yep. what I mean? Like they're going to have to win those little random moments in the game.
The 50-50s.
Caleb's going to have to do more. Caleb missed so many open shots. And again, Boston is getting open shots off diagrammed actions that they prepared for. Miami's getting open shots because they're just making shit happen. And they're shoot. Just, yeah, bro. And then they get Boston to make to blunder and Caleb's open and just can't hit. And it's like, that's the stuff that you got to finish that. I actually don't remember a play where Caleb went to the rim at all that game. I like some of that because he's another guy who can get them a little bit of downhill juice.
Yeah. He only took 6 shots.
He has to be a little bit more active. And again, like, you know, you got the good DeLon game. I don't think that they're going to make any grand adjustment again. And this is like a real thing. And like, you know, series doesn't start till a team wins, you know, on the road. So I don't think Miami's going to panic, you know, even if they lose the next game. I think that'll give them a lot of data to make decisions. Obviously, if you go down 0-2 against this team, you know, it's looking pretty Jover. So I would hope that Miami and the coaching staff has the urgency without over adjusting. Mm-hmm. And I think that they're going to kind of also hope that Boston's not going to shoot that well from three again. I don't think they're going to test them in the same way that they just did by giving them those kinds of open threes. But surely I think that they would try to play a little bit less the Boston shot profile, which is just all these threes and not a lot at the rim. I think they're going to try to mess with that. Boston shot from three that game, they shot 45%. They almost shot 50 threes.
Yeah.
Miami shot 37. I just think that disparity, Miami hit 12, Boston hit 22.
A lot of those threes, too, were in the fourth quarter from Miami. Like, it was when the game was over. All 5 of DeLon's came in that quarter. You know, you talked about Caleb, obviously. Like, I think in the first 3 quarters, Miami kept trying to, like, get a good shot to a better shot. But considering the personnel, the good shot sometimes is all you're going to be able to get.
Yeah.
So they were, like, over... dry or trying to overdrive and overpass and it got him into trouble several times, not just Caleb, but DeLon did it, Highsmith did it, Jovic did it, Tyler got into his own head and did it. Like, you know, you need to, if it's open, man, you got to shoot that shit. Like, there is no better shot against this team. Like, I thought that was the case early on. That obviously, and along with, like, you know, G, like you said, the 50-50s, man, they have to win these because Boston had, like, it felt like every time Miami was close to making a run, Boston would grab an offensive rebound.
And all that talk, bro, Boston won the 3-point battle. Boston turned the ball over only one more time than Miami, only 10 turnovers. So you talk about like 50-50 balls and effort shit, like, you know, like you got to win that. The rebounding battle, kind of going to all that point. Miami had 34, 44. Boston had 44. So it's like you're losing
10 offensive rebounds.
Yeah, you're losing all those statistical categories that you talk about. 50, you know, you gotta win that. You are outmatched.
Yeah,
you don't have the luxury. Boston can lose those categories and still win. You cannot lose threes, rebounds, and win turnovers by +1 and think you have the formula. Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
You got outscored by 30 at the 3-point line.
Yep. Lost the game by 20.
And you're just not gonna win. So hopefully, you know, you have and by the way, Tyler, they're gonna need you. it's not a series for you. I don't really know how you're going to find your points other than pull-ups, because the way Peyton Pritchard defended you, I was impressed, and I don't like that guy, but yep. I mean, he does a good job on you because he's a very good screen navigator. And listen, Miami went to find that matchup a lot. They're like, where can we find Peyton Pritchard? And that was the weakest link. He's not that easy, you know, of a weak link. And they went at him and they got some good
stuff. Not for Tyler, at least.
Not for Tyler. He is small and they're gonna. And that's the thing without Jimmy. You lose a guy that can go out a matchup and win it for you.
Yeah,
because they and don't Terry. Have a guy that can do that.
Like, yeah, and you're missing Terry too, who's another threat that you have to respect on the floor. To like the Heat don't have guys that they're expected, like their Celtics are afraid of beating them off the dribble.
This is more of a Terry series than it would have been a Tyler series.
Yeah, he can handle the physicality a little better. He's like 20 pounds heavier, stronger.
He's just faster. He gets to the rim.
Yeah. Even his finishing is awful, but
finishing's awful. Although I think if I remember, his finishing really improved toward the end here. I have the numbers.
Feels like it did.
I mean, he still shot 55% at the rim. It's really awful.
I mean, it was like 40% before, right? It was something. No, it was something no bad. Yeah, man. Like Tyler needs to get going. I think working, you know, trying to play more off ball, trying to be more decisive, like you said, like you showed on the initial play. He needs to find his little gaps and set. This isn't a heliocentric Tyler. This isn't a, you know, Tyler dominate the ball series. It can't be. He doesn't have the skill for that. He doesn't have the skill to match up with Boston like that. But he can find his points in different ways. In the shooting, he's got to be a willing shooter, being aggressive at three. I know he went 3 for 9 from deep. But he's got to, you know, he's got to do a little better there. We need some hot series from him. And he needs to attack the gaps more. I don't mind the two-pointers, the pull-up jumpers from him this series, as long as they're, you know, open. Like there was one where he I think it was against Peyton or White. I don't remember. Still White either way. He rejected a screen, but it looked predetermined and the guy got a great contest and smothered it. And that's where Tyler just has to play. Like he can't be predetermining this series. Boston's way too big, way too talented, way too physical to do that. He's got to play, be aggressive, set his man up, use the screens and attack. Just play your game and make quick reads. That's something he's struggled with, but that's why it's great. He's getting the reps. I was talking to this about with Tiff. Tyler's basically a rookie when it comes. This is his first like real playoff atmosphere because the bubble there was no crowds. He struggled in against the Bucks. He struggled against the Hawks, and then he was injured the rest of the playoffs for runs. So like this is his real first chance to go at it for a series, and so this is great for him. Either way, no matter how it goes, he's got to adjust and go to game and to do it against Drew, Derek White, two first team all defenders. Talent, like it's awesome for him either way.
So yeah. You know, yeah. For Lou, you have anything but to close this out with, or
no? Yeah, I can't agree anymore with you guys. Like, talk about heliocentric. All three of Tyler's 3-pointers came off of like ball swings, catch and shoot threes. Obviously, you need him to hit some of these pull-ups. But like at times when the action isn't for him and he can just camp out somewhere, he's so much of a better shooter and he's so much like that's his ideal role. Mm-hmm. If they can try to delegate some of the offensive responsibilities in terms of like initiating offense to, you know, maybe Hyman or maybe some more Bam, Caleb, it's tough because you don't really have many options. But if you can just let Tyler catch a rhythm first before you start force feeding him the ball, it'll do wonders for him. Sure. And to Frankie's point about like them trying to mismatch Hunt, like one of the few guys who can mismatch Hunt is Hyman. And aside from him, if we're being honest, Kevin Love. Like this is the only two guys who are pretty good at mismatch hunting on the team. So I think Led Spoke, call us. We got some answers for him.
I think also one last thing, just attacking in secondary early offense when they're on their heels, like that's something somewhere where they're not where they're more susceptible to damage. And Jaime was really the only one that was consistently trying to go downhill in that matchup. And I feel that's where they need to really try to go the Tyler Bam pick and roll, because they are deadly in secondary transition. That's where Tyler gets most of his lobs to Bam, is in secondary when he's – it's a quick – it's right away.
I think that's good for Nico too. I think like just 100%. Kind of – I think getting Nico a little bit more involved in the offense, like we talked about all these things. And by the way, like I thought Nico, and I mentioned it earlier in the show, I thought survived on defense. And I think that if you have a guy that can survive, I think you got to find some minutes for him to kind of help you create. But he was not, you know, he did not get many pick and roll reps, and I just think he needs a few more of them.
Yeah. Try to get them to try to force early switches and try to, you know, move the ball and get them scrambling. That's what you need to do.
And I thought Miami did a good job as the game progressed of like, okay, well, we're not going to run we're not going to run like small big stuff. We're going to try to run like wing mm-hmm. guard. I just think that a lot of those switches are losing for you. So I think, you know, the guy who gave you winning switches was Jimmy, right?
Yeah.
You don't have that, because like if you run, they would run like Drew's, like they put Drew and Derek White in an action, or Drew and Peyton Pritchard in an action. And it's like, okay, Caleb's your ball handler, or, you know, Tyler's your ball handler. And it's like, you're not really getting a winning matchup out of that.
Right.
But I guess it's okay. So like, I agree with like your point on the switching, but really like, what do you want? You want, because they're not going to switch Porzingis onto Hero, and that might be like one of the ones that you get. They're just going to drop him, and I think they get good stuff off of his drop. So,
well, I mean it more so like when they play with Jimmy, they're trying to get switches so he can attack and he can force two to the ball and he can get to the line and get to the cup. With in the sense what I'm talking about, where they're trying to force switches early, it's just to call disruption. Just to call confusion, move the ball quick, attack gaps, try to force help. And then when you're attacking in that sense already, you have your the cuts. You cause a little confusion. You're just like, oh, shit, I was guarding Tyler. Fuck. That's what you want to get. And then try to take advantage of that. Just subtle confusion. Like just, you know, little pin downs. All right, we'll switch that. That's fine. All right, we'll do it again. Keep going. Keep moving the ball. The ball needs to swing side to side two or three times every possession. If it's not an early, secondary transition attack to the rim, like they need to get cause some disruption in some ways to get the littlest, tiniest advantage and hope that he can shoot well enough and attack the gaps and finish well enough to make him pay.
For sure. So hopefully we will. You know, we have hangover time on Wednesday for you guys this week. Shout out to Hot coming back. We may be on tomorrow. If I get a guest, I'll be on tomorrow and we'll break down more of the game. If not, see you Wednesday. I don't think you want to hear me ramble for another day. I did not talk about Brian Scalabrine today. Don't give a fuck about what that guy says. And I think anybody platforming him is ridiculous. I love you, Dan, and I love you, Levitard Show, but giving that guy a platform to speak, insane. I just don't care about that guy, and you guys shouldn't either. So fuck him, go to hell. I mean, just insinuating Spo's dirty is insane, bro. Like, what? Grow up.
I saw somebody say this: Spo won't even foul up three, and you think he's gonna send a hit out?
For real. He does everything the hard way. Like, why the fuck would he want to injure somebody to make the game easier?
That's you think he sent somebody that's not Caleb. You think he put like Thomas Bryant or something?
Hold on. You know what Spo is? Spo is Goku. Spo is like, take the Senzu bead, reheal. I want to beat you at your best. Spo's a fucking sicko.
Literally. Like, Spo, not that he wanted us to get injured. Spo, it would hurt Spo more if one of their best players got hurt.
Jimmy would be out and let Tatum like sprains an ankle. Spo would give Tatum a Senzu bean, and he'd give it to Tatum before Jimmy.
He's like, I want this at my most difficult. That's what I need. This I need to test. The worst myself.
Part is Spo's probably fucking loving. Spo probably got to watching film today, and he's like, yes, it's a mess.
He's like, I gotta fucking find a way to do this. This is the impossible.
Kids are like, Daddy, read me a bedtime story. I gotta watch film.
He's probably watching film right now as we speak.
The fourth time.
He's watching the show. He's
the fifth rerun of the game.
No, dude, fifth? This is the tenth time.
Oh man, yeah, like
Chris Quinn is so sick of him.
Oh my god, Ryan Spravero says Caleb in a contract year, no less. I'm sure he's all about putting himself in danger to hurt someone else. Yeah, right. Like, come on, bro. And bro, the side angle, the push does not look as crazy as it does when you saw the over the top angle. That shit looks way more violent.
Yeah,
it's insane, bro. So yeah, such a non thing. So yeah, today we kept it basketball, and yeah. So hopefully tomorrow, we'll get a guest. If not, see you Wednesday.
Peace.